Songs, we know that we have sung them to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would accept them as a sacrifice of praise from our lips. Because we come to you as our Lord and as our Savior. And Lord, we rejoice today that we can be together. And we rejoice that Steve is here. And Lord, it's great and exciting that he's here and part of the family. And it's exciting to see him. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on him and his family as well. Lord, we come with various needs as your people, but before that, we come with our own hearts. And we ask, Lord, if there has been anything that has gotten in the way of us serving you even this week, or loving you the way we should, or even, Lord, listening to you, we ask you to forgive us, God, as your people. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, when we have neglected to speak to others about you, to invite them to be here, to assemble together, Lord. We ask your forgiveness as your people. Lord, this is your church, it's not ours. And sometimes we let that get in the way too, that we want ownership more than just belonging. We want this to be our church. God, it's yours. And so we, Lord, today recognize that before we come and pray with health needs among us. We rejoice today for Al and for the Shlupiak family, for Leslie and all the children. Lord, we rejoice today, knowing that you're a God who looks after every little detail. And we have prayed for healing. Lord, we didn't know what kind of healing that was required, but we pray for healing. And we pray that today for Megan Pocha. And Lord, again, we don't know what kind of healing is required there. But we pray, Lord, that your healing would just come upon her, that you would touch her in some way. Lord, and whether that be physical or emotional or spiritual healing, we leave that with you. Lord, we pray today for her parents, for her family. Lord, may they continue to receive courage as we pray for the Shlupiak family as well. Courage for these families. All the families, Lord, who have a loved one who's just not feeling well, we pray for courage for them and strength. Lord, we do that because we know that you give so freely to us. When we ask, more than we can ask or even think, you give. And Lord, sometimes as we come and we pray, we don't know what we need to walk through as your people. But we pray that you would keep us unified as your church as we continue to walk in obedience to you. Lord, sometimes that's not easy. But we pray that you would continue to keep us obedient to you, that we would believe you. Lord, we think of Mary Warkentine and Annette Kreider, and we pray, Lord, that even today that they would be encouraged in some way, that they would, Lord, feel your peace and encouragement. And Lord, I pray for all of us here. Maybe there are some who need that peace as well, who, Lord, are struggling in some areas and in some ways. I pray, Lord, that today they would see your God who they can surrender all things to. Father, thank you that we can come and worship you together in song, but also that we can worship you in your word. And so we pray, Lord, that your word would be preached today, and that, Lord, you'd ordain my lips so that as I speak to your people, I speak that what you want me to speak, Lord. Father, protect us, keep us safe. We worship you. We pray, Lord, that to you be the glory and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Wow. Well, I'm pleased. I've got to say, I'm really pleased. Pleased that, you know, you're all here. I thought you'd look in the newspaper and see it would say, "Why give?" And I thought, okay, that's dangerous, but nonetheless, I did it, and you're here. This is great. Obviously, you don't subscribe to the Herald. Steve, I got to say, you know, Kevin, you may be dressed better, but Steve, you do know what day it is, don't you? You know, Kevin said it's April 26th. You know it's April 30th, so I hate to put it on the spot there, but, you know. Just kidding, Kevin, sorry, but Kevin's not even listening. It's okay. Well, a little boy wanted $100 badly, and he prayed for 2 weeks. Nothing happened. Then he decided to write God a letter requesting the $100. And so when the postal authorities received this letter to God, Canada, they decided to send it to the Prime Minister. They thought it was so cute. So the Prime Minister was so impressed and touched and amused that he instructed his secretary to send the little boy a $5 bill. He thought that this would appear to be a lot of money to a little boy. And that little boy, he opened that out. He's so pleased with the $5. He sat down to write a thank you note to God, and which read this: Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had to send it through Ottawa, and as usual, they deducted $95. Yeah. It's a reminder that taxes are due. I thought how appropriate to talk about giving. That's how God works. I kind of forgot. I'm not an accountant. I know nothing about taxes. Joan does all that. She just asked for the checkbook. And I thought how appropriate to talk about giving on such a day as this. And in fact, maybe now you're starting to cringe a little bit because of the subject, why give? But I got to share with you that we've been walking back to the basics. We've been reminded of various truths throughout Scripture. Why the Bible? Why pray? Why church? Why Palm Sunday? Why Easter? Last Sunday, why a prayer place? And now this morning, we're going to look at why give. We're going to look at only one verse, main verse this morning for my point. Just one verse, not a passage, one verse. A very familiar verse. And I think sometimes because of its familiarity, you got to be looking that up in Webster's. We lose the sense of wonder and power held within these words. So I invite you to turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. John 3:16. A lot of you aren't turning because you know it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? Let's go back to the basics and answer the question, why give? Why give? Why give? Out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. See, I need to clear something up because I don't want you to be scared this morning before we begin. This is not a message about money. You see, it seems that when a church says the word give, we get trapped in that word money. In fact, I myself have said, we're going to church tonight. I'll leave my wallet at home. You know? I know there's the joke too that, hey, our church really implemented a good stewardship program. We put automated tellers in each pew, you know. There's jokes like that. Giving tends to be such a difficult subject for the church, yet it shouldn't be. Because out of any place that the word give should be welcome, it should be the place that Christ instituted and called the church. Because when I'm talking about giving, I'm talking about self. That includes financial, but it also means my spiritual gift. It means my time. It means my energy. It means my heart. It means my passion. And this verse really comes to our rescue in understanding giving. And I know. How do I know? Listen again as I read from the message. I think it's going to go up there. From the message. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Talk about giving. The death of Jesus Christ was God's greatest act of love. Love for sinners, like you and me, who were totally and completely unlovable, unworthy of love, and unwilling to love at the very moment God loved us. See, God is the greatest giver because he is the greatest lover. We cannot even come close to loving the way God loves. But we can try. The verse is even repeated. It's so important. Think of this. If you've memorized John 3:16, you also memorize 1 John 4:9. Isn't that great? You memorize one verse, you get two. It's a good deal. It's a sweet deal. This is how 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one only son into the world that we might live through him. Now, if we stop there, that would kind of be wonderful. That's so often what we do with Scripture. We read a verse in Scripture, we're kind of content, and we say, oh, that's so good, I feel great now, a little warm, fuzzy, and then we're comfortable, and we just close the Bible, and away we go. But then we miss more truth in our life, because the passage continues in 1 John 4, and it says in verse 10, this is love! It describes it! This is love! Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. And we read that as recipients of God's love. God sent his one and only son into the world as an expression of his love for us. What a wonderful gift. See why I give? Because out of love we give. Out of love. But we have to be careful how we love. In fact, this unknown author said it this way, an act of love does not make one a Christian any more than pulling a splinter from a child's thumb makes one a surgeon. How many of you have ever plucked out a little wooden splinter? Boy, I'm a surgeon. No. Love is the fruit of the Christian spirit of the Christian's life. Love is evidence that there's an intimate growing relationship with God in the life of the believer. That's why we give. Because it all hinges on our relationship with God. 1 John 4 also says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Such a hard statement. But it's so true. It's not enough to say, well, I love. Show me. That's what the Lord demonstrates to us. As you look at the cross, you cannot say that you do not know love. Because love held Christ to the cross, not nails. There's nothing pretty about a cross. It was a horrible death, suffocation. But what love? See, love isn't always romance. It isn't always, oh, here's the daisies, my love. You know, the chocolates. Oh, mind you, that's a good start. You know, the longing gaze into another's eyes. You know, most of you are doing that right now. You know, love can be painful. Love can hurt. But we would be nowhere without loving. It's like this Pickles cartoon.
Judy, do you see that elderly couple down at the other end of the counter?
Yeah. Yeah. What about them?
Well, I was just thinking that that's probably what you and I'll look like in about 10 years or so.
You do realize that's a mirror at the end of the counter, don't you?
You know, that's love. Love.
When God's love grips a person, they're changed. You know that? They're completely different. They walk differently. Not like this. They're no longer self-absorbed. What's in this for me? What's in this? They love. They're not looking at it. Hey, what? Wait a minute. I don't like that. I don't like what that person did. You know, I'm not getting in there. This is about me in this relationship. That's not what it's about. God's love is sacrificial.
John Stott, the great Bible teacher, he said, this is the most comprehensive and sublime of all the biblical affirmations of God's being.
The statement, God is love, teaches us that every action of God is an expression of his heart of love. Every action is an expression of his love. You show me someone who makes time for people, they're a giver. This is God as a giver. Tell me someone who has a loving heart, they're givers. God is a giver. Tell me someone who cares about the hurting, instead of hurting, there's someone who gives like God gives. Show me somebody who's concerned about people's pain instead of creating and causing pain. They're a godly giver. Those who weep with the grieving instead of causing grief, that's a giver. Laments when others are judged instead of judging. They're a giver as God is a giver. Out of love, God gave. You and I desperately need to be givers. And I'll tell you that when you love like God does, you trust God with all of your life because you know that you cannot survive, that you cannot love without him. You cannot. You attempt to. You may even attempt to hide behind the facade that you've created. I'm a lover, man. Satan loves that kind of stuff. But truly loving, true love, the way God loves, brings the next point. Why give? Out of love. Why give? Out of belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. A little boy was given a $5 bill to put in the collection plate. When the offering came around, he wouldn't put it in. He held on to it, and at the end of the service, he went to shake the pastor's hand. That sweet. He pulled out the $5 bill. And he gave it to the pastor. Wow. Pastor asked him, wow, son, why are you giving me this money? Why didn't you just put it in the offering plate when it was passed like everybody else? The little boy said, because my mommy told me that you're the poorest pastor we've ever had. Now, if you're handing me $5 bills, why don't you leave today? I don't know what I'm going to do. The little guy, he believed. He believed that pastor was poor financially, so in turn he gave. See, giving hinges on believing. It does. If you believe God, you give everything. I'm not talking about like signing a deed over and putting it in the offering plate, all right? But you come to understand in a fresh new way that it's not about me, it's about God. It's our belief that gives us the strength to serve. It's our belief that gives us the ability to use our spiritual gift. It's our belief that creates within us that passion for people who are lost. It's our belief that allows us to trust God even with our finances so that we give unto him, which is the spiritual act of worship, says the Bible. That's why talking about finances shouldn't be strange to the church. It's sadly, very sadly, I've heard throughout my ministry Christians who've come to my office and who will say, I just don't like what I see happening. And so I'm not going to give anymore. How sad. Because it all hinges on believing God. That's what this verse says. For God so loved the world that he gave. How did he give? He gave his one and only Son. He gave his Son away. Do you grasp that? Do you understand what that involves? See, I don't know. I really don't know how close families are anymore. But as you heard last week, Pastor Jim Simbla had a daughter who was walking in a different direction. And he prayed, his wife prayed, and the whole church prayed. And upon that surrender came the victory. The clouds of Good Friday were moving in, but Easter Sunday came. You remember? How many of you were here last Sunday? You heard that? Yeah, powerful. Well, I have to tell you that staff, we met this week, said we gotta follow up a prayer meeting. We're having a church family prayer meeting this coming Wednesday night. Okay,
this coming Wednesday night in the First Baptist Sanctuary, you can come here as a church family and we'll pray together. We'll pray for hurts. We'll pray. We'll lament together. We'll weep together. Let's bring joy and praise to God together this coming Wednesday night. See, do you believe God enough to give away your pain, your hurt, your sadness, your frustration, your grief? Do you believe God enough to say, I'm not going to hold on to these things anymore. I'm going to hand them over to you, God, and I'm going to take your hand. Do you believe God enough to know that whatever you are walking through, even this very moment, that he will take your hand and he will walk you through it? Do you believe God enough? Do you believe? God has a wonderful way of deepening our belief. He has an amazing way of creatively strengthening our belief in him. Now, I'm going to tell you a personal story, and it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in the ministry is tell a story like this. But I believe the Lord wants me to, so I'm being obedient. While in ministry, Joan and I have seen the wonderful power of God in so many ways, and I could tell you time and time and time again where I've seen God do amazing things. But I want to describe to you one powerful situation in which we saw such godly power, all right? So I think some of the times we have difficulty with God, all right? I'll never forget the day. I was just new to the ministry, and I was greener than the grass in the middle of summer. And I'm not talking during the dry spells, all right? I'd spoken at great length with a young lady who's raised in a very strong Christian home, and she spoke of many things in her spiritual life. But one thing that caught my interest in her discussions were these words: I also attend other meetings. I didn't know what she meant by that, and so I asked her. I said, "What are the other meetings? You know, because I'm just green." She said, "Well, I attend the Satanist church on Saturday nights. And then I come to service on Sunday morning." Being the green person that I am, I didn't even flinch in my mannerisms. But inside, I was visibly shaken, almost terrified. And she said to me, there's one thing, she said, I've noticed, that in the Christian church, all they know is judgment. The judgment of man is always upon me. But in the Satanist church, they believe in a power, something greater than themselves. Whoa. That shocked me. She then started to weep. Very openly, she started to cry right at the table in this restaurant. And she said, all I want is to be free. She truly, more than anything else, she wanted freedom more than anything else. But she didn't know who to talk to or where to turn. And she spoke with her parents, but as she explained, they were just creating more of a rigid, formal religion, which was making the spiritual attack on her even greater. You have to understand that there is no formal training for this sort of thing. There are not easy discussion tips to have in this kind of, you don't pull out a book and say, oh, here's the book, I can, you know, 700 different ways to discuss Satanism. And I had an evening meeting at the church. And I went to the church, and I was getting ready for the meeting, and as the phone rang, I answered, and I was about to go into my meeting. I have to tell you that the voice at the other end of the phone was like out of a horror movie. As it said, "Have you checked your children?" I stood there and I said, "Who is this? I thought it was a joke."
Have you checked your children? Because they'll all be dead when you get home. Chills went up and down me, and I could hardly muster the words as I walked into our meeting. And I tell you, it's hard because I didn't know what to do. I spoke very quickly, and I said, I have to leave. I have to go home. There's something going on. I don't know what it is. And so I left. That's a glimpse. That's a glimpse of the intensity of the spiritual battle that we walked through. And it continued. But through it, God created a passion for us to believe him. Because I would spend hours at night reading the Word of God and crying before him. I would call on others to pray, and they would say, I don't know how to pray about that. I know, but pray anyway. I would weep before God as I surrendered my family to him. I had no way to protect them the way God could protect them. And he did protect them. You have to understand, this is the most difficult story I've ever had to share in my ministry. And I didn't want to. I had different stories here. And it's like the Lord said, no, you gotta share it. Because at that moment, in God's time, I surrendered my thoughts, I surrendered my mind, I surrendered everything that was important to me over to God. And I gave God my family, I gave God my finances. I did that a long time ago, because I'm not an accountant. I gave God my ministry because I knew I could not change anyone's heart as my own heart was bleeding a slow death. And Joan and I were tired from many sleepless nights. We were feeling beaten and bruised and wondered sometimes when we would find reprieve. And we didn't know who to turn to. I mean, I would talk to other Christians and they'd look at me, Satanism. But see, sometimes God gets you alone so that all you have is him. I called some trusted profs and I met with them, and one of them agreed to help me walk through this. And there were four of us who met to pray, and there we were, four. And we gathered at the church. One fellow, he sat outside, so there was five of us, and I invited this young lady to come and to pray with us. And it was then that I saw the tremendous power of God. Not the kind of power that comes from when the sick walk again, or the power that comes from someone who's ill made well, but the spiritual power of our God. And we prayed together for 4 hours. But it's what occurred in that next moment that I want you to hear. We prayed, we read scripture together, we prayed for our families, we listened to that young lady express her pain, and we prayed with her, and the time was moving fast until all of a sudden she began to talk, but it was differently. Very openly she talked with God, and she spoke to him, and she surrendered to him. There is no way I can explain the power of that night. I wish I could explain it some way, but I can't. Words can't explain it. She felt the power of God come on her, and she wept, and she wailed, and she was crying, and we all looked at her, and I reached out to her, and she said, no, these aren't tears of sadness. These are tears of joy, because finally I'm free. She went home. Her parents, we all went with her. She was totally changed. She went into her house. Her parents were sitting there at the kitchen table. She ran up to them, and she grabbed them, and she said, please forgive me. And the parents came and grabbed her and said, please forgive us. And they turned and they said to me, we now believe God. They've been Christians all their life. We now believe it. See, the question is, do you believe him? Isaiah 43:10 says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I do not know how you believe in God today. I do not have a clue how you've packaged him. But I know up to that time I packaged God so that I was comfortable with him. And I also know that God does what he can to get me to see him better. I don't know why some things are a struggle. I do not know why we have to hurt and experience pain in our life. But I do know that our God desperately wants to look after what you hold on to. And that's why we give away, so he can look after it. Margaret, please come and play I Surrender All. You see, I know God. He wants you to come. He wants you to release your pain. It's okay to weep before him. It's acceptable to cry and wail before him. It is permissible to take your joy to him. It's okay to talk to him. It's okay to speak to him. God waits for you. He awaits you to come so that he can give you the peace that you need. He looks forward to us coming and giving our pain, giving our bitterness, giving our hurt, giving our joy. He so desperately wants us to believe him. He wants you to give. But he wants you to give everything to him. Not just your finances, not just your gifts, not just your time. He wants you to give your pain. He wants you to give your hurt. He wants you to give your joys. He wants you to give your bitterness. He wants you to give your problems. He wants you to give your relationships. Maybe your children, maybe your spouse. God wants even your ministry. He wants it all. Have you given it to him? You give out of love and you give out of believing. Are you a giver? God calls us to be givers. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Are you a giver? Think about it for a moment. Maybe you're here and you're feeling pain. Maybe it's like Jim Cimbala shared last Sunday. Maybe it's you have pain about your children, or maybe it's about your spouse, or maybe it's a relationship with a fellow Christian. Maybe you've been so hurt that the pain is very overwhelming for you. Can you give it to God to handle? Tough question. I'd say, well, I've already done that. Wait, I'm asking you, do you believe God today to give him your pain, your hurt, your finances? God so loved that he gave sacrificially. He asks us to do the same. Give, why? Out of love for our Father. Maybe you're startled today. Maybe you're startled. Oh, man, I can't give into this. I'm going to hold on. I can't give away my pain and my hurt. I want to tell you that God has something wonderful for you if you let go. Maybe you're walking a peaceless life right now. God wants you to have peace. He wants your burden. He wants your concern. I know. I know he does. But heads are bowed now. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you want to go to the prayer room and surrender this morning, to make your way there. Just stand up. And you know where the prayer room is? We walk through. You stand up and make your way to the prayer room. If you want to go and you want to pray, you want to say, I want to surrender this morning, just make your way there. While that heads are bowed and eyes closed, just you can use the back door, walk through the back doors. Just quietly, heads are bowed, make your way. Elder staff, you make your way there. You just stand outside the prayer room, and I'm going to ask them to stand there. If you want them to pray with you, you just nudge them, and they'll go in and they'll pray with you. But you go into that room and you pray. Don't hold on any longer to what God wants you to surrender. Don't hold on. Start giving. Give it away. Give away. Maybe you're saying, I'm doing okay the way I am. I don't need to share this with anybody. I'm not going to pray with anyone. I'm not going to be seen walking into the prayer room. Those thoughts aren't God's thoughts. God wants us to pray for one another, the Bible says. Just make your way. Those who need God, just make your way. Just make your way through the pews. That's okay. Just make your way through. Just make your way. Stand up and go through. Let's just all stand. So let's all stand up. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you want to make your way to the prayer room, just go ahead. Let's sing I Surrender All. Let's sing the chorus. Just the chorus. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I surrender all. I surrender all to him. Keep making your way to the prayer room. Make your way. If you want to surrender to God, all that stuff, all that hurt, all that pain, just make your way. Make your way to the... Talk to God. Maybe you're saying, God, I just can't give this stuff up. I've got to tell you, you don't have to carry it any longer. You need to just release it and take his hand. Because God often takes me out of my zone of comfortability to make me believe in him more. Do you believe him today? Are you a giver? Do you love? Do you show love? Do you believe? Or when it fits your plan, do you believe? The more you run from God, the more he will chase you and create for you a way to see him better. God wants you to stop running and start giving. Father, we love you, and we know that you love us, and we can't even comprehend that kind of love. We can't comprehend that sacrificial kind of love where we give it. We think sometimes, God, we do understand it, but we can't comprehend it. But we do pray that we would continue to give up to you and surrender to you who we are. Lord, even today there may be many, many hurt moments in our lives, but we give them to you. We surrender them to you. Lord, we want to be givers. We want to be givers. We want to hand over to you everything in our life. We don't want to hold on anymore. We're tired of holding on. We're giving it to you. We're surrendering everything to you, God. This ministry, this church, the land, everything is surrendered to you, God. Where we're supposed to go, what direction we're supposed to take. And God, we thank you for our elders who have this vision of prayer, and God, that we need to be praying to you. Thank you. That we can. And what we say and do glorify you always in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it.
I surrender all. I surrender.